From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful, beautiful May day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Reminder, tomorrow is the big day of giving. A lot of our charities here in the Diocese of Sacramento, a lot of worthy causes, all participating in the big day of giving, including St. Vincent de Paul and the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, Loaves and Fishes, just an awful lot of wonderful charities that will be participating in the big day of giving, and it's a big boost to all of them. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Mike Sultan. Mike, good morning. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Bob.
Always a pleasure. BringMary.com. I just love the website.
It's awesome.
It really is. Yeah. The Great Marian Procession, and that's part of the title now. I'm not just being hyperbolic here.
It is.
It is the Great Marian Procession.
It absolutely is the Great Marian Procession, and that's what it's called, rightly so.
May the 12th, and I'll let you introduce our guest who joins us by phone.
Okay. Our guest today is Ed Visenor, and he's worked for some years now with our event, and Ed does the video promo work that you'll find on the website. Go to bringmary.com.
Beautiful stuff.
And you'll immediately see the promo video, which is just blasts out what this is about and why everyone should be there. And Ed also does quite a lot of social media marketing work, which is an area that I'm terribly unfamiliar with, but he's very good at it. And Ed can talk a little bit about what's going on there and about the event itself. And so that's our guest today.
Very good. Ed, welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an honor to be here.
Very, very, very good. Mike, tell us about this great event.
Okay. So first, this is our 10th anniversary. So we've been doing this a while. We have large crowds that come. This event this year, we begin at East Lawn Memorial Park. That's East Lawn Cemetery, which is at 43rd Street and Folsom Boulevard in East Sacramento. And that's where the crowds gather. I suggest everybody arrive about 8 o'clock in the morning. We actually begin at 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. And what this is, it is a Marian procession. That means we carry a statue of Mary. It's our Lady of the Pilgrim version of Fatima.
Uh-huh.
That's the Mary that we take.
100th anniversary of Fatima.
We just had that last
had
year.
That.
We're
yes.
still fresh on our minds.
Almost 101 now.
Almost 101. So we take Mary through the city streets. They are closed by the police for this event. Mm-hmm. Last year we had probably around 1,500 people
wow.
that came. We take her 3 miles through the city, and we're doing something different this year. We land at the state capitol on the west steps, mm-hmm. on the grounds of the capitol, where we will have a special ceremony of crowning Mary, mm-hmm. Crowning her queen of angels and saints and heaven and earth, as she rightly is.
And Sacramento.
And Sacramento, you bet, and California. And then immediately following the crowning ceremony, then we will... the pastor from my parish will lead the crowds in a special consecration of the state of California to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Wow!
And that will be that's the main event. That's what we're here for this year.
Boy,
California needs it, and we're going to do it.
Did the Congress have to pass this?
Well, we didn't check in with them.
Don't ask them. They'll debate it for the next 12 years.
Yeah. Tune in later for answers. In the meantime,
wow,
we're doing our work.
That is so impressive.
Yeah. So this will be different this year in certain respects. We still have our traditional procession and honoring Mary. And always remember, of course, Mary is all about Jesus.
That's right.
Mary is about Jesus. It doesn't stop at Mary. It goes to Jesus. And that's why we're there, to honor her. And of course, ultimately to honor her divine son and do what we must and do what she's asked us to do in a great, glorious way in the streets publicly. And public prayer to our Blessed Lady brings down more graces. This has been said many places, many times.
So. Yeah, May is the month of Mary, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember years ago, Edmonds Field, back where the Sacramento Solons used to play down. I think there's a Target there that's about 9th and Broadway, or maybe Riverside and Broadway, was Edmonds Field, and they had a big Marian event every May, and huge deal. I've somewhere, probably the Sacramento Bee archives, you could find.
I've heard of it. I wasn't living here then. I remember Monsignor Cavanaugh.
I think Monsignor Cavanaugh was very involved.
He used to talk to me about that.
Yeah. Very good. Ed, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Tell us about your work on this. The video is spectacular.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm just honored to be a part of it. I connected with Mike several years ago, and he needed some help, and I filled in, and just kind of became a yearly thing. But more so, I'm so excited because of it's for Our Lady, and as Catholics, you know, we know and believe that Our Lady, she is like the magnifying glass that makes Jesus more present in our life. The more we love Mary, the more we will love Jesus. And it's really exciting to have this event in California. And I really like the aspect of the consecration to Our Lady to California this year, because I think it's going to have a worldwide impact. And for a couple of reasons, California is a big influence all over the world because of the major tech companies that are here, and the media it produces, and music, and Hollywood. And unfortunately, let's be honest, you know, some of that influence is not very good because of the bad media that comes out of Hollywood and the music industry. But the great thing about it is God's grace is bigger and more powerful. So if we come together and continually beg God for intercession and graces, a torrent of graces for California, he's going to hear that. And when he sees a group of people faithfully going to the state capitol and saying over and over again, this belongs to you, this land, this state belongs to you, God's going to work. He's going to do great things. He's going to touch hearts in ways that we can't even imagine. And I was thinking about this before I got on the line, and I think if we don't believe that, it's kind of, in my opinion, I think we kind of need to look at our faith and examine it. And I think we don't believe in the power of prayer enough. And we don't trust in God that he can do great things through us, not because of us, but because of him. And that's why this consecration, in my opinion, is not just, you know, another event that just happens to be going on in Sacramento. I really want to encourage people, if you're in the Sacramento area, I'm going to beg you to come. Because it's going to benefit not only the people who see us, it's going to benefit California, but it's going to benefit your soul as well. I remember hearing about the saints saying in heaven, if they could do one more thing for the glory of God, they would either long to suffer for him or even one extra Hail Mary because of the glory that it brings about. When said in God's grace and in union with love, there's just so much power in one single Hail Mary for transforming the world and our own soul. So if we think about that, we're getting together, and we're marching in the streets, we're praying, you know, rosaries, we're singing songs, and they have a loudspeaker on. At the time, it was led by, I think, Immaculate Heart Radio, and I think they're going to have that this year. Is that correct, Mike?
But yes, Relevant Radio will run a broadcast with which will carry the rosary as well as some Marian hymns along the way for the crowds. And they'll be able to dial in on their radios.
Very good.
So we're all praying the rosary together, and it's really awesome. We have petitions. You can go online. You can enter your prayer requests, and we print them off and carry them through the little basket and pray for all these intentions, consecrating California. But I want to give one last reflection here. God is always speaking to us, I mean, constantly throughout a day. But the thing is, we're not always listening. So today, I have a special challenge for those listeners. I want you to ask yourself this question, to prayerfully ask, is it coincidence that you're listening right now, and out of all the things you could be doing, for some reason you're in your car or you're at work, you just happen to switch on this radio station today, and you're hearing this invitation or talk about this consecration to California in your area? And so is God calling you to come to this event through this moment right now? Not because any of us are extraordinary prophets or speaking perfectly God's word. That's just the way he works. I can't tell you that. They can't tell you that. But God can. And so I'm just inviting people to say prayer, because it's a really awesome opportunity. Say, Lord, do you want me to go to this? Do you want to bless my life and my family in California through me, by me attending this event? I don't know. That's between you and God, but ask him. So I want to encourage them today. I do know people from all over the world have been inspired by this event. They are emailing us saying, oh, we would love to come. It's so far for us, but we would just love to come. So there's people who in different states would just, you know, absolutely love to be a part of this. But here, it's in our local neighborhood. So if you can make it, come. But those who are not making it and can't make it, they are going to be praying with us in unison on May 12th. They're also considering starting up a consecration in their state, at their state capital as well. So beautiful things coming from this event. And thanks be to God, you know, for Mike saying yes and all the people who work so hard to be a part of it. Thank you, Bob, for promoting it every year. It's a great event, and I just really hope people say prayer, ask God. Hopefully we'll see you there.
Wow, very well said, Ed. You know, you're right about California. It seems like so goes California, so goes the world sometimes. And I know as a Californian, when I travel around, you hear another state or maybe another country. If you say you're from the United States, okay, you know. If you say you're from California, oh, California! You know, they do think it's all palm trees and movie stars and et cetera. But there is a magic to that. If you're in Kansas and you say you're from California, people want to know all about it. And here we are in the state of California, with the capital of California named after the Blessed Sacrament, all of our major cities, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose, named after either the angels or the saints. Santa Maria is a great city in California. We've got more cities named after saints than any other state, and we certainly have more Catholics than any other state by far. And having the great Marian procession, this is where it belongs, in the state capital named after the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament.
You bet. And this year, literally on the grounds of the state capitol at the West Steps.
Yes, no, wonderful.
Maybe, Ed, if you can make a comment or two on some of the social media, the Twitter and Facebook, and where people go with that and what's happening there.
Sure, absolutely. Well, to find us on Facebook, you can either go to bringmary.com, and I think there's a link on it on the page there. You can click on the Facebook, or just go to Facebook and search for the Great Marian Procession. And I also want you to invite you. I personally like to be challenged, and I like to give challenges. So I'm going to challenge you today to go to the Facebook page, and if you're in this neighborhood, in this area, start forwarding that video to your friends. Tag them. Say, hey, we should go to this. You want to come? I'll go with you. Let's get a little bus. Let's carpool. That's a great way you can be an apostle for Our Lady, for Jesus and Mary, by inviting people. We're spending some little bit of money on advertising, but you know, you can help out. You don't have to send a check. Just go there and send the video. You know, and that's a great way to evangelize. And also, it's on Instagram, and people are sharing it on their own. And one bigger Catholic group shared it, and in one day it got like 17,000 views.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's pretty exciting, because people are seeing that. They're seeing, you know, California needs peace, and that's the way the video starts out, and California does need peace, as the whole world does. And for the reason we just mentioned, California has a big influence, so we've really got to kind of step up our game sometimes. We can't be... we try to avoid the lukewarmness, as Revelations I think 3:15 says, you know, be hot or cold. But if we're lukewarm, we're going to be spit out. And man, oh man, I just pray God save us, save me, save us from being lukewarm, because time is such a gift. It's such a short, short gift in this world compared to eternity. And every moment, God is going to hold us accountable. And he's going to say, what did you do with the gift and the time that I gave you? And, you know, for me personally, I just think, oh, man, mercy, mercy, mercy. I beg your mercy, but I want to try. I want to continue to try. And if I can just even invite people to this great event, then I'm going to do that. And you can, too. So go to the Facebook page, check out the post there, tag people, become a follower. And that's just one way. And if you want to go a step further, go the traditional way, call up people on the phone. Say, hey, there's this event May 12th. You want to go? It's just one morning, Saturday morning, not much of your time. But I think in the big picture, if we could see all the graces that will come into our soul and into the world because of our prayers and sacrifices, especially if it's a sacrifice, then I can guarantee you, put that on one side of the scale, and any other activity you're considering doing in the place of it, there's no question of what is going to have more value. Yeah, so again, that's prayerfully between, you know, you and God, but be a social media evangelist and go out there and share the video.
What a great way to spend a Saturday morning, and especially in the month of May. Mike, 10th annual. I can't believe you've been coming here for 10 years.
I
guess
either.
10th annual means it was actually 9 years ago when the first was, if I'm doing the math right.
Yeah.
You don't look a day older. go back to the first. Tell us just a little bit about the planning and what the thinking was, and did you expect it to become such a big deal?
No, I didn't. it was something that I presume that my heavenly friends and our Mary Mother, my Mother Mary, somehow provided inspiration along the way, and a lot of help, and a lot of help from many, many great people, great servants of our faith. So I thought, well, let's see, we need to have take Mary out public and process her through the streets. My gosh, how do we do this? And I started putting some things together and went to the city and realized, we're going to be out in the streets for this. I've been to a few things here and there where a group of people, very just solid the earth, faithful people, like maybe put together a walk on the sidewalks,
sure,
you know, and so forth. And those are absolutely fantastic. They're great.
Bishop Soto does one on Holy Saturday, visiting seven parishes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And huge crowds for that, too.
Yeah. So I thought, well, but I'm the type of guy that, I don't want to, get arrested or something. I'm thinking, we got to put this out in the media somehow. And I don't know if 10 people show up or 50 or 1,000 or 2,000. I didn't know. So I figured, well, I better be ready so that in case there's a problem, we don't run into problems. So I went to the city and talked to them about how that works. And of course, you have to have a permit and so on and so forth and on and on. And the first year was very complicated because I was trying to invent this thing from zero.
Yeah.
who needs to be here? What do we do? The next thing you know, I'm contacting the Knights of Columbus, the Color Corps people, which we have each year, and then we have scouts that come and altar servers and priests somehow we ended up. We had some bagpipe and drummer people, a group from my parish, the parish I attend, that came and played. And that was so, I happen to find that very stirring, the bagpipe and drum music.
Yeah.
And so the particular group at my parish eventually dissolved, but it led me to another organization that some are members of. It's called the City of Sacramento Pipe and Drum Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give them a plug, City of Sacramento Pipe and Drum Corps. They are fantastic, and they come each year. And they play, and they come with, I don't know, maybe 12 or 14 pipers and drummers or more, and it just brings the whole thing to life. And they play at the beginning and the end. So we have a lot of different things we're doing, and of course, Relevant Radio, formerly Immaculate Heart Radio, locally, has joined us every year, And that was with the help of Ed Horodko, who was absolutely with our event on the streets with us at the beginning. He's in Reno now, of course. But he was with us, and he was a great help putting some of the pieces together at the beginning, particularly some of the media work that we do. And
very talented guy. Just
very talented.
Knows how it works.
Oh, my gosh. So somehow, through a series of surprise miracles and events, I had this idea, and the next thing I'm connected with people from, you know, Immaculate Heart Radio, Pipers and Drummers, all kinds of entities through my Catholic world connections, and we assembled this great, enormous event, taking Mary publicly through the streets. We've done it. This is our 10th year now.
It's mind-blowing. Do they play Amazing Grace?
I'm sure they can.
If you've never heard Amazing Grace on the pipes.
I have many times.
Oh, man.
I have heard it many times on the pipes, and it is, yeah.
Sometimes it's 6 a.m. you hear it.
Yeah, they haven't played it for this. I don't know much about what's best for pipe and drum music.
Yeah.
They kind of pick their own.
They pick their own. Yeah, you don't tell these guys. They're the experts.
And it fits well with what we're doing, though. It just it fits together, and it fits well. So
again, it is a week from Saturday, May the 12th, 9 a.m. The procession begins at the East Lawn Cemetery, and then at 11 a.m., the Mary's crowning and consecration on the west steps of the state capitol.
Right. Go to bringmary.com.
Bringmary.com and learn all about it. And as Ed, as you say, share it on social media. Let people know. Invite somebody. And that was very profound when you said there's some reason you're listening to this right now. Think about that. Is God putting a little message in your ear? Maybe this is something you ought to go to. And, you know, bring the kids. Bring your family. It's a very pleasant walk. And you will be very inspired. Mike, thanks so much for all you do. And Ed, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all you have done for this as well.
All right. God bless you guys.
Hey, God bless you too, Ed.
Definitely bring the kids too. This is an awesome event for the kids. They see mom and dad, brothers and sisters, all these people excited about the faith. The young people need it. So if you come just for bringing the kids alone, that would be worth it. So
very good.
Bring the family.
God bless, Ed. Thanks so much. God bless you too,
Thanks,
Mike.
Bob.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We go now by phone to Judy Dietlein, the president of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, just coming over off of a wonderfully successful annual dinner for the poor. Judy, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you feeling?
Feeling much better. I couldn't make the big dinner. I think it's the first time I've ever missed.
Are you avoiding me?
No, not at all. We still haven't met since you've been president here. We've communicated on the phone a number of times, but you know, it's one of those things that the kids pass around for me. You blame the kids, you know.
That's right.
And then
it's always the kids' fault.
You think, oh, I'm Superman, I won't get sick, and then boom, but I'm fine now. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're better. And yes, it was a lovely evening, and we're sorry we missed you.
We managed to hook up with Sister Jay Bro, though, interviewed her this week, boy, what a remarkable story she has.
It really touched people. You could tell just by looking at faces while she was talking that they were hearing things that they had never heard before, and were quite taken by her story and how it all came about with the get on the bus. So I'm glad that she has been able to be on your program so she can share that story with even more people.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just a program. It's a program that always needs volunteers and helpers and people in parishes maybe along the bus route to
exactly
help greet the kids and their sponsors and maybe feed them or, you know, give them some nourishment or a present or something. It is a remarkable, remarkable program. So
it is
wonderful that you were able to bring her here to Sacramento. Now, the big day of giving is tomorrow.
It is. We're very excited about it. This year we have been much better prepared for it. Last year was our first year of involvement with the big day of giving. It's an online one-day, 24-hour challenge that started in 2013. And so in 2017, St. Vincent de Paul's Sacramento Council was the first year that we were involved. So it takes a lot to get to become part of the program because you have to provide so much documentation. It's only for nonprofits, so it's they're really very strict about how it all is put together. So we did that last year. So this year was a lot easier to get started, and we've been able to promote it. So it is on our website, svdp-sacramento.org, and under What's New, there's the Big Day of Giving. If you click on that, it takes you right to the Big Day of Giving St. Vincent de Paul webpage. And there's a big button that says Donate Now. And you can give today if you want, or wait until tomorrow, and any amount helps. These donations that we're taking for the Big Day of Giving helps us with our special projects, like our store. And we have a resource center that takes calls from the people that call the thrift store, that walk into the store, that email us. We have a program director that directs those calls to the resources so they can get help. And so it will fund that, as well as our youth program. I think every St. Vincent de Paul should or does support the youth in their area so we can bring in the St. Vincent de Paul of the future. And that's what we work towards, bringing in the youth.
Do you have a specific youth program?
We do. It's called the Young Adults in Sentience. It's a group of, I call them young people. Anyone under 30 is very young.
That's really young.
Yes. And they do special projects. This particular conference is in the Sacramento area, and they do special meals. Just, I think, last week they did a breakfast for the poor, and not only did they serve the breakfast, they sat down with people who came, visited with them, and heard their stories. And so they're doing the walk for the poor, raising money for that. So they're very active, and they helped us out at the dinner. There were about 16 of them there, and so I was very impressed to have them involved. So we like to keep them funded so they can keep their projects going.
Very, very good. And it's still pretty early in the Big Day of Giving in terms of how long it's been around, but and you just began last year. Is it a big day on the charity's end, or is it just a good way to get your name out there?
No, it is a day of getting donations for all nonprofits in the Sacramento region. When it first started in 2013, they raised $500,000 in a 24-hour period.
Wow, that's remarkable.
Last year, Bob, they raised over $7 million.
Holy cow!
And there were 599 nonprofit organizations involved last year, and we were one of them. And this is a big deal, and it is well publicized, and it is to raise funds and to raise awareness of how much the nonprofit organizations in the Sacramento area do for Sacramento. So there are all kinds of organizations that participate besides St. Vincent de Paul.
That's just remarkable. I can see people out there listening saying, can I buy stock in this organization?
Well, we just ask that you go on and press that Donate Now button. And, you know, even $10 would be, we'd be so thrilled to accept any amount because it all helps.
Well, you know,
it all goes to charity.
The thing that is always so good, and I always feel so good about St. Vincent de Paul and you know, Catholic Relief Services and the Loaves and Fishes and the Food Bank and everybody else, is that $10 just goes a lot further than you think. You know, most of us, if we go out to lunch, $10 isn't even enough. $10 given to a nonprofit can really go a long ways, especially a St. Vincent de Paul, where you folks are all volunteers.
Exactly. There are no salaries involved, so everything that comes into us goes to people who need them, mm-hmm. Whether it's goods or services.
Right.
For instance, we buy our food. Most of our conferences who participate in food programs go through the Sacramento Food Bank.
Right.
And so we are able, for $10, to get a lot of food
yep.
that will go to families that
yep.
need it. So, yeah, it all kind of works together. It's a big circle of help. So we're excited to be part of it, and we're happy that you will help us get the word out.
Well, tell us again the website so people can go there and, as you say, push that big button.
svdp-sacramento.org.
Very, very good. Judy, we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, and we hope the big day of giving is truly big for the St. Vincent de Paul Society here in the Diocese of Sacramento.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you for your always helping us with getting information out to everyone. I'm happy to come back and tell you how the big day of giving actually ended up for us.
Oh, that would be that. We'll look forward to that.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Have
God
a great
bless.
Day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
God bless your work. That is Judy Dietlein, the new president of the St. Vincent de Paul's Society here throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at associatedsound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720. Or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
Good morning. This is Sister Maria, and I'm the Formation Director for the Seminarians. And you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome to you, and welcome back on this beautiful day the Lord has made. A beautiful May day, 2nd of May, the day after May Day. And our friend Jim McCormick joins us now from the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back on your show, Bob.
You know, it's interesting. May Day, it means different things around the world. But when I was growing up, my mom was from North Dakota, and she said we made little May baskets, and we put them on
neat.
The doorstep of our friends with little flowers,
yeah.
maybe a few little candies,
yeah.
Hershey's Kisses, or something in it. Just little. Almost like, not like a big Easter basket, but a little basket.
Is that ever neat?
And then, yeah, my wife's from Montana. And the first May Day when we were together, I said, you know, I used to, you know, and she had the same experience. And I thought, it must be a Great Plains kind of thing. Because in California, none of my friends did it. Nobody ever, hey, what's that?
Hey,
and
dude,
now my kids just, they think it's they just love it. They love going
That's
around
neat.
And leaving the
yeah.
little, and you don't say it who it's from. It's
a
surprise. They
That's
they wake up the cool. next morning, they May 1st. This is April 30th you're doing this.
I see.
And
yeah.
you
yeah.
put it on their doorstep like at 10 mm-hmm. o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Run up there, you drop it off.
Exactly.
And then they go to school the next day, and their friends are going, I got this really weird thing on our doorstep.
Exactly. Well, that's
so
great.
I'm thinking you being a Canadian, maybe it's a northern thing, but that's not part of your experience.
I do recall a lot of this about dancing around a maypole.
Maypole,
yeah. Yeah, type of thing.
Like with crepe paper going
yeah,
around the
exactly.
maypole.
Yeah. And then Always cleaning up the yard. Arbor Day was nearby, and we did it early. So, but yeah, it was sort of followed on the heels of Easter. You know what I mean?
Right on the heels of Easter,
basically. So,
yeah, but it's May, of course, is the month of Mary.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, we're celebrating a big event here in Sacramento on May 12th. We're combining the Sacramento Choral Society Orchestra and Chorus with the Sacramento Children's Chorus, three amazing soloists, and three choirs from Sacramento State University, because this concert, it's a party for Don Kendrick as he retires from Sacramento State.
We're, what, 33
years? 33 years.
Wow.
And so Don has been the director of choral activities there for 33 years. And his gift to his students, about 100 and some students, is to bring them downtown to the Big House, to the Sacramento Community Center Theater. These students have never had a chance to sing with a professional orchestra. So we'll combine our large chorus with about 100 singers from Sacramento State and the children's chorus and our 52 professional member orchestra with the three soloists, and we're doing the West Coast premiere. Now, Bob, a premiere is a big deal. Mm-hmm. The work that we're doing was featured in Carnegie Hall last year, and it's Jubilate Deo by Dan Forrest, and it's really a sort of, it examines the global aspects of the traditional Psalm 100, O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. The work is sung in seven different languages.
Wow.
And it does the musical style for each movement when the language is there reflects some aspect of their culture. The languages include Arabic, Hebrew, Zulu, Mandarin Chinese, even good old-fashioned English, and Spanish, a couple others there, too.
Pope John Paul II would have understood all those.
Well, you know, it really, I commend Don, because on the first half, he's doing a big Te Deum. Te Deum is a large extended hymn of thanks. Mm-hmm. So a Te Deum by Dvorak, and then a really elegant setting of ancient airs and dances for orchestra. So the whole idea of ancient airs, respecting the past, rejoice all ye lands, and also giving thanks. So in a way, Don is giving thanks for 33 great years at Sacramento State.
Wow. You know, you go back 33 years, and there was no community center.
It was pretty well around that time.
Yeah.
1976.
And then no Mondavi Center.
Oh, no.
You had the Memorial Auditorium.
I know. And
you had local gymnasiums.
Exactly. And a wonderful program now at Sacred Heart Church that Don has built. So there's been a lot. And also, Don built the graduate level program for choral conductors. Mm-hmm. And so that helps a lot of high school teachers hone their skills. We've taken students from Sac State around the world with us, and lots of great programming and inspiration. And something that strikes me about Don is his ability to link the university with the community. And he found that he would prefer to have the students doing their performances out in the community, not necessarily on campus at Sac State. Let them get out into the community. And I think that was a wise move, certainly for the university and for the program.
So tell us about Don. When he was 10 years old, you grew up in Calgary, is that right?
Yeah, Calgary, Alberta.
With a baton instead of a hockey stick? You know, I mean, did they always know he was going to be a conductor or be in music at least?
Yeah, I think so. At the age of 6 or 7, he was at St. Michael's Episcopal Church in Calgary, sang in the little church choir, played the organ when his feet couldn't reach the pedals. I think his father was his first piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a great high school experience. You know, a lot of these youngsters, when they meet one or two dynamic teachers in their life, it just molds their life forever.
Yeah.
And in Calgary, there were some really amazing teachers in the high school that inspired Don to want to go into music. So did a degree in organ, then degrees at New England Conservatory in conducting. Finished his doctorate at Eastman School of Music, which is definitely one of the greatest schools in the country, and landed work at Louisiana State. And then in 1985, he applied for one job at Sacramento State.
Wow.
And he got it. So 33 years later, we're saying goodbye to Don.
Oh, that's amazing. You mentioned Calgary. My uncle was a high school music teacher in Grand Prairie, Alberta, which
is
north of Edmonton, and
we're talking right up there near the Northwest Territories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I remember visiting him one time years ago, and he said, I have the best job in the world, teaching high school kids music.
Yeah, you do feel blessed because it is about beauty and hope and inspiration. And yes, you do teach music, but you're the role model that you serve as when you walk into that room, you leave your troubles at the door.
Yeah.
And inspire people to lift their voices together. It's a real ministry, I think. You know,
yeah.
Good teachers make an amazing difference in a person's life.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you were telling me about Dan Forrest, about all beauty comes from God.
This composer, there's a 40-year-old American composer. Just when you think there's nothing new under the sun, along comes these talented individuals. This young American was born in Elmira, New York, graduated with his doctorate in composition from the University of Kansas, master's in piano, I believe, performance as well. And he truly believes, and this is his philosophy, that all good things, including any beauty that we encounter, are from God, through God, and ultimately to God. All beauty is God's beauty wherever it is found. And in his writing, his goal is to bring out this beauty. We know that the world is an imperfect place, but there are moments of beauty. And this composer believes that we're all making a difference when we provide great music like this.
Wow.
So he did this amazing setting of Psalm 100 in seven languages, and it treats the global aspects of Psalm 100, O Be Joyful in the Lord.
Jim, did you bring some music for us?
I thought we'd start with the traditional Latin. The first movement is in Latin, O Be Joyful in the Lord, Jubilate Deo. And you're going to hear some wonderful percussion and rhythm in this first example. Jubilate Deo, Dan Forrest.
Beautiful stuff, my friend.
It is. It's powerful. And I like it when they take something old and set it in a new setting. But the message is there. Oh, be joyful. I love that term. Oh, be joyful. Rejoice, all ye people. Ladies and gentlemen, we will have super title translations above the orchestra and chorus. So you'll be able to see the Latin and then the English. We're even getting the Mandarin up there, as well as the Arabic and the Hebrew. But below it will be the English, so that people can understand what's being sung.
Wow, that's great.
And it's great to have the children with us. They sing in a couple of the movements, and then three soloists that we'll feature as well. The movement I would like to feature next, if we have time, is in Mandarin Chinese. And it deals with the concept of sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, he integrates a little bit of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So this next work is sung in Mandarin. And in the background, you'll hear some Asian instruments like the Eru, which is a two-string Chinese fiddle. So this is the sheep of his pasture. The third movement of Dan Forrest's Praise and Jubilation.
Praise and Jubilation. It will be coming up on Saturday, May the 12th, 8 p.m. at the Sacramento Community Center Theater. The tickets, you can call 916-808-5181. We're with Jim McCormick, president of the Choral Society, Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. Are we saying goodbye to Don Kendrick, or is he just kind of changing hats here?
Yeah, good for you. He is rechanneling his energies. He's not retiring in that respect. And he's retiring, I should say, on the installment plan, where he is finishing with Sac State in, I guess, this summer. And then he will keep, thank heavens, the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, and he will continue as music director at Sacred Heart Church.
Wow.
So it's nice to have Don still in the community.
Absolutely.
And these the Sacred Heart and the Choral Society will reap the reward of having his energies with us.
Boy, talk about how one man can contribute to his society, to his city. It's remarkable.
The pillars of our world. I mean, you have the community and the state, and then the church. And Don has been able to link all of them.
All of them,
and
yeah.
And he does it seamlessly. Like, he makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
And he's not taken for granted. And so we're glad he's staying in our community, and he will continue to lead in the cultural aspect of the growth of this area.
And think, you know, if he goes back 33 years at Sacramento State, how many students' lives he affected?
Well over 4,000.
Wow.
Not funny you should mention it. And about 36 graduate students, which is a lot, because you don't get that many grad students when you're teaching full-time.
Sure.
So that's been a real blessing. And so there's good information at sacramentochoral.com. We're finishing the Choral Society's 22nd season, and I really love the idea of partnering with the State University at this final concert. We're pleased that President Nelson and his wife will be in the audience. They're coming.
Oh, very good. Yeah, relatively new president. I don't know if you can call him new anymore, but relatively
new. He's out there, and he understands the value of what Don is doing, linking the community to the university.
Yeah, and it took over for President Gonzalez. Yeah. And there's a renewed energy. President Gonzalez, of course, was awesome, too. And,
yeah, exactly. Don Girth, exactly.
And then Don Girth prior to that,
Yeah. We're not allowing dancing in the aisles at this concert because of the insurance liability. There's a lot of steps. But this next excerpt that we'll briefly play is Zulu from Africa. It's with great rejoicing, and the rhythm is so, it just stays with you. So this is Ngokuyabula Zulu from Africa from Dance Forest Ubalati Deo.
Welcome back, Jim.
The energy in that last excerpt is pretty amazing, and it just puts a smile on people's faces, both in the audience and on stage, type of thing.
Tell us about your sopranos and your baritone, Rachel Songer.
Yeah, Rachel Songer has been a cantor at the cathedral for many years.
I've heard her,
and she.
I thought I recognized that name. A fabulous
voice.
She's
made quite a name here in the area, and she's got exactly the type of voice we want for the Dan Forest piece. She came with us to Carnegie Hall back in 2003, so we're glad to partner with her on this last concert. And Anne-Marie Endres has performed with us before, and Sean Spies is one of Don's former grad students who came with us to the Baltics last year. Mm. Great baritone, powerful, teaches high school up in the foothills, and he's just a dynamic human being. So we've got three local stars that will be with us.
Yeah, so, I recognize all those names.
So the concert is Praise and Jubilation, West Coast premiere. But on the first half, we'll feature Respighi's Ancient Airs and Dances and this Hymn of Thanksgiving, Te Deum, by Antonín Dvořák.
Tell us, I love what you read about Dan Forest. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Well, He's almost a freelancer now because he's so successful.
How old a person would he be?
He's 40. He's mm-hmm. turned 40 years born in 1978. Isn't that scary? 1978, just a young pup.
Hard to believe.
I know. And he's made his way. He's done a lot of residencies at universities. He's an adjudicator. He's on a lot of Cora publishing boards. And he's writing these amazing works that are striking a chord that's sort of magical. They refer to the structure of his music as totally unusual. He's gone very international. We've done another work of his 2 years ago, Requiem for the Living, mm-hmm. and it just touches you. There's something about a good melody that he writes with those strings underpinning that somehow moves, because I know our singers are moved, and when you hear these different movements, especially this next example shortly, you'll see that the power that music has to stir the soul, those are not just lightly proclaimed words. That it really does. I mean, great music actually lowers your blood pressure.
Oh, there's no question.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So, but Dan Forrest, he's making his way in the world. He's wearing many hats. We tried to get him to be at this event, but of course, thousands of other people have been trying to get him to be at their events,
where
too.
Where does he live now?
He's in, I think, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I know he's on the East Coast, mm-hmm.
The other coast.
But imagine this young fellow from Elmira, New York. So he's at Carnegie Hall a lot. So a lot of these choirs from high schools and colleges, they like to combine, and they do these big performances at Carnegie Hall. So he's in demand, and people will start to recognize his name a lot more. So we're thrilled to be featuring him.
Elmira, New York, I think there's some religious background there.
I can't remember now myself. It's upstate, right?
It's upstate.
Yeah.
And
not far from Canada.
I'll have to research that.
Yeah.
It seems to me there's something in American history about.
Well, he's using his gifts. He speaks openly about using his gifts to bring beauty to the world through music.
Are we still having composers, including Dan, of course, who primarily do mm-hmm. what we would call religious music?
He seems to be focused on that. This Requiem for the Living, he's written a new work that we're looking at, Luke's The Dawn of Something here. So his themes are one of hope, light, beauty. And he writes for large forces, which is good for us, because some composers don't write for a large chorus mm-hmm. and orchestra. They may do a 3-minute piece for solo and piano. But he goes all the way with the big forces, and he understands orchestration. It's just amazing. So I know our orchestra is going to fall in love with this piece.
Now, there will be a pre-concert talk.
That's right.
At 7 p.m., and somebody we know well is going to be delivering the talk.
You know, it's really a pleasure. I've been invited once again to do the pre-concert talk. So at 7 o'clock, it's part of the admission. People can come and sit anywhere in the main hall. It's about half an hour, and we'll have great sound samples, sort of what to listen for mm-hmm. at the event itself. And I should add, Bob, that students, instead of, we have $53 orchestra seats, but students can get rush tickets for $13.
Oh, wow.
So we're hoping that students will come and enjoy this. And there's
it's almost worth signing up if you're not a student.
Bob's going to go and get a fake ID now.
That's right. I'm going to take a class at City College real fast.
And, you know, since this is sort of Don's farewell retirement party disguised as a concert, we're going to have a reception in the lobby around 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
To say goodbye to Don and thank him. Photo opportunities. The lobby's not a huge lobby, but we're looking forward to having an intimate crowd with us to have some fun celebrating Don's good work in the community.
Boy, what a great time.
Yeah, it's a great partnership, and I salute Don for pulling this project together as a way of saying goodbye to his students. In fact, I think he and his students are having dinner together in between the dress rehearsal at the Hyatt. There's a wonderful deal that they're helping us with. So Don will dine with his students between 6 and 7:30 p.m. So it'll be his chance to have a good visit with them before they come on stage. Bear in mind, these students have never been on that community center stage, and they may have hung out with professional orchestras, but they've never had one accompanying them.
Is that an intimidating venue?
Not really. When there's huge numbers and you get up there, you feel really solid. That's the joy of choral music. It's intimidating numbers-wise because of the 2,400 seats.
Right.
Hard to fill for classical music. But I know that from a performer's point of view, when you're up there, 12 rows of bleachers and the children on the side, huge orchestra, three soloists. We have someone playing the eru, the Chinese instrument. We'll even have a guitar at one point in one of the movements. It's just a joyful time. And then it's fitting that Don chose the repertoire. I think it really is a celebration of good work in the community.
And Jim, before you go, Choral Society and Orchestra, they have any plans this summer?
Not this summer. This is our dark summer where we're taking the summer off. But we're unveiling on Monday night, the 7th of May. We're doing this huge unveiling of the June 2019 international tour. It involves three countries, and I wish I could say, but I haven't unveiled it to the choir members, so I'm not allowed to say it now. But it will be with orchestras over in Europe. So we're looking forward to that.
Those of you who are listening, Choral Society, now you know. We'll do a clue. We should, every time we'll give you a little clue. You got three countries, and they're in Europe.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how many countries in Europe. So we can narrow it down a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. It is not Canada.
It's not Canada.
Yeah. So I thought we'd finish with a piece from the Praise and Jubilation, Jubilate Deo, by Dan Forrest. He gave a nod to South America, Latin America, I should say, and it's, "Bless his name, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, bendecid su nombre," a movement, touching movement from Dan Forrest, Jubilate Deo.
Portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love, and you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation by calling 916-851-2700. Fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts is for all of us. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Give them a call. They're at 916-338-7272 or drop on and visit them, 6916-6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Well, if you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to where you want to go. Details are available at Crumley & Associates. They're at 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks, or give them a call at 916-638-4600. We thank them for their longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Underwriting is also provided to the Bishop's Hour by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call, 855-525-2285. We thank all the wonderful underwriters for the Bishop's Hour, and we hope you will support those who support us. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just.